Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, visiting with us on the program, we have David C. Bentall, the founder of Next Step Advisors, who has been advising family enterprises for over 25 years. He has also personally experienced succession in his family's real estate and construction businesses, and his new book is Dear Younger Me, Wisdom for Family Enterprise Successors, and I'm sure we'll learn a lot here today. And Mr. Bentall, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Eric, a real pleasure. Looking forward to the conversation.
And I am as well, and we really appreciate your time. So for starters, you are candid about the regrets you have from early in your career, and I'm sure we can learn a lot from your response here. What message does Dear Younger Me share from your reflections?
Eric, thanks for getting right down to business. To put it very succinctly, I worked in our family real estate and construction business, Eric, and my dad and my grandpa had built a business that was voted one of the 100 best companies in Canada. At our 75th anniversary, we had 1,500 employees, had an amazing firm, and I joined the company. I was the only member of the third generation working in the business. My dad wanted me to become the future president, and it looked like I had an extraordinary opportunity ahead of me. And in my most recent book, Eric, I describe how I forfeited my opportunity to lead that business, not because I wasn't prepared to work hard, because I did, not because I was not well-educated, because I took appropriate education at business school, including attending the Harvard Business School, as well as university here in British Columbia. But what was lacking, I had a good brain, worked hard, good education. What was lacking, Eric, is that I lacked emotional intelligence. Now, people don't know what that word means, perhaps, or some might have different interpretations. For me, what I lacked was some of the key things, including humility and patience. And as a result of that, Eric, I kept banging on my uncle's door, who was our company CEO, telling him I knew how to do things. And as a young, enterprising 20-year-old kid, or in my early 20s, I botched it because I lacked these things. I also lacked listening skills. I lacked curiosity, a whole bunch of things. And so what my book is about, Eric, is it's a plea, frankly, for next gen leaders to adopt an apprenticeship mentality and to learn from the elder generation. So that's a quick summary, Eric. Does that give you a handle on what I was getting at?
Well, the key piece that I took away from your response there was the lack of humility that you had, and that certainly spoke volumes to me right there personally. Now, what overall wisdom do you hope younger generations take from the book to forge better paths in their early careers?
Well, here's what I'm hoping, Eric, is that rather than choosing heroes or role models to follow without careful forethought, I encourage them to think about who do they want to emulate? And if I can just illustrate that, I chose two iconic heroes to follow. We've all heard of Winston Churchill. He was an extraordinary leader. And one of the things that Winston Churchill said was never, never give up. So I took that approach into business. Now, no one can argue that Churchill didn't he save the free world? But that's not a good approach. Never, never give up is not a good approach when you're working with your uncle in a family business. So I took the wrong model. I wasn't at war, although I created a bit of a war. So I took him as a hero. And so what I want young leaders early in their career to think about, who is your model? Who are your role models? The second one I took, Eric, that led me in the wrong direction. I'm a keen football fan. I watched the first Super Bowl 51 years ago and a Green Bay Packers fan ever since, although they're not doing very well this year. But, you know, Vince Lombardi was famous for saying winning isn't the most important thing, it's the only thing. So I took a winning is the only thing approach to my discussions with my uncle. And that created sparks and conflict. And Lombardi, of course, if you want to be a football coach, he's a great model, but not if you want to get along with your uncle and work in your family business. So what I want to encourage, Eric, members of the rising generation, next gen leaders, is to think about who are your heroes going to be. And so I've adopted a whole new set of heroes that I seek to follow, and I want to encourage kids in their careers to do the same.
Certainly some sound advice right there. It makes total sense as well. Now, can you share an example of how you learned and developed one of the interpersonal character traits? Get into that, if you don't mind, by example.
Yeah, sure. So let's talk about one of my new heroes. One of my new heroes is Benjamin Franklin. Of course, you would know better than me. I'm a Canadian boy, but you know, one of the founders of the, and one of the authors of the U.S. Constitution. Benjamin Franklin went on a project which he called his search of moral perfection, which none of us, I think, are going to get to that. But Benjamin Franklin, one of his friends said, Ben, you need to add to your list of things you're trying to fix in your life, and you need to add a little humility. And so Benjamin Franklin spent some time thinking about that, and he wrote, and I couldn't believe it when I first read it in his biography, he wrote that he'd made a decision, quote, to deny myself the privilege of disagreeing with anyone. Now, for me, like when I first read that, I had to read it several times. Did he really say that? How do you become a founder of the post office? How do you invent bifocals? All the things he did, discover electricity, and never disagreeing with anyone? What I realized is that Benjamin Franklin just decided to deny himself the privilege of disagreeing and rather become someone who exchanged in dialogue and discussion with an open mind. And so he became for me a model, and I've been learning from him to instead. So let's talk about if I disagree with my wife about what movie we should go to, instead of saying, sweetheart, we're going my way, the highway. I'm now learning to say, sweetheart, what movie would you like to go to? And could we consider going to the one that I'm interested in another time? And you know, it doesn't hurt that much when it's just about the movie, but if you can develop this, and as I've been developing this attitude, then I can learn to do the same thing in business when the stakes are higher. Does that make any sense, Eric?
It certainly does, Mr. Bentall. And not only that, but I can appreciate that you chose as your hero Benjamin Franklin, even though you're a Canadian. I certainly can appreciate that and can see the benefits in your choice as well. Today, we're joined by Mr. David C. Bentall, the founder of Next Step Advisors and has been advising family enterprises for over 25 years. And his new book is Dear Younger Me, Wisdom for Family Enterprise Successors. He's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, why do many of our leadership role models not serve us so well today?
Well, I think, Eric, one of the reasons that they don't is that the sphere of influence that they're having may not be relevant to the sphere of influence we are having. So if you think about the example I just gave with a few minutes ago about the two examples, whether it be Churchill or Vince Lombardi, that their theater of operation was different. One of them was in a world war and one of them is playing football. So I think we need to find role models that serve our theater of operation. So if I can give you another example of one of my heroes, one of them would be Nelson Mandela. And so he's in my wall of fame, I call it. And I want to be like Nelson Mandela because of how forgiving he was. Here's a guy who spent 27 years in prison and was willing to forgive those who put him behind bars for a quarter of a century. What theater of operation are all of us in business that is relevant to that? We are all in business with other people who may do things to us that we may object to. Nelson Mandela decided that he was not going to be vindictive and revengeful, but rather forgiving. Any of our listeners, if they work in business, they work with other human beings. And other human beings will either let them down or disagree with them. And if we're going to have relationships that are going to survive, Eric, we need to practice forgiveness. And so that's why I want to encourage our listeners to think about what it is you're trying to accomplish and how can you choose mentors, virtual mentors who can assist you. Can I give you one other quick example?
Sure, that'd be great.
Albert Einstein, people think of him as one of the brightest guys ever to live. He says he was not particularly intelligent. He said he was just curious. Okay, so if we want to be innovative in our businesses, what do we need to do? What we need to think about is how can we be more curious about a different way or a better way? That will lead to innovation and spark new opportunities for us. So these are some of the things that I think we need to think about, mentors who can help us in the areas that we want to grow.
Good feedback there. Really appreciate that. And also, in what way does our preparation of emerging business leaders fall short?
Well, I think our preparation of leaders typically leaves out the idea of developing our interpersonal skills. And that's why Dear Younger Me is all about the emotional intelligence theater, which will help us to develop our interpersonal skills. You know, when I went to business school, both at the Harvard Business School and at the University of British Columbia here, we looked at financial things and we looked at marketing strategies and we looked at mortgage finance, et cetera, but we didn't look at how could we grow our interpersonal skills. Yes, we looked at human resource management, but that was how to manage others rather than managing ourselves. So I think that the number one thing that's left out in our preparation of leadership is how do we manage ourselves? I remember one of my colleagues saying that before we think about trying to lead others, we need to think about how we lead ourselves. And I think that's where we're really missing out, Eric. And, you know, having worked for over two decades with families in business, I've noticed that the next gen leaders, like all entrepreneurs around the world, we're all thinking about how we can lead. I was exactly the same. I was thinking about how can I lead? And I think we need to think, first of all, how can I serve others, which is really about how can I be different? How can I find a way of adding value? How can I work well with others and how can I help them to do their best?
Now, shifting gears here a little bit, you've spent a good part of your career advising clients who are part of a family enterprise. What particular issues do these types of companies tend to wrestle with the most?
Well, I think one of the things that family enterprises wrestle with, it's common knowledge that people joke about, you know, family business, all you need to know about family business is succession, meaning how do you transition leadership from one generation to the next and how do you transition ownership from one generation to the next? And those are the two big stumbling blocks we have. You know, who should own the business? Should it be all the kids or some of the kids, or who should lead the business? Should it be Bobby or Mary, or should it be a non-family member? So trying to think through who will lead and who will own are two of the biggest challenges. And circling back to the conversation we've been having about emotional intelligence, families trying to have those conversations often get stuck because they don't know how to listen to one another and communicate well. And hence the idea of cultivating the ability to have emotional intelligence relating to others can be hugely beneficial. So for an example, Eric, in my own life, my uncle was leading our family business, and my dad wanted me to lead our family business after him. And my dad and I started talking about a plan where I could become ready to lead the business 10 years after joining the company. At that time, my uncle would have been 65. My uncle felt I needed a 20-year training program. We got into a squabble over that, Eric, because I lacked empathy. How would empathy have made a difference? Empathy would have made a difference if I had just stepped back and realized my uncle had waited 30 years for his chance to lead. Gosh, it must have sounded terribly presumptuous that I felt I could learn to lead in just 10. And so if I just had a modicum of empathy, I might have recognized that that was pretty harsh for him. And I might have been a little more back to patience. I might have been willing to wait. By the way, speaking of patience, our listeners probably love what Warren Buffett has to say about patience. He says two things. First, he says the key to everything is patience. And he goes on to illustrate that. He says, you get the chicken by hatching the egg, not by smashing it. And Eric, as I look back on my early career, especially my relationship with my uncle, I carried a hammer a lot and I consequently smashed a lot of eggs. And so, again, these skills can help us, particularly in a family enterprise setting.
Great points and great takeaways right there on that response. We really appreciate that. Now, lastly, we've just now witnessed succession in Britain's royal family where there's no criterion to meet beyond birth order and bloodline. What criteria needs to be met for successors to a family enterprise as we conclude today?
There's something we can learn from them. You know, Prince Charles was willing to be patient. He had, like, how many decades did he have to wait? There's a beautiful example, right? He could have been upset. He could have been frustrated. He could have been angry about that. There's nothing he could do about it. And I think we can learn from him this word we just been talking about. His patience had to be, some people laugh and joke about it, right? He had to wait an awful long time. So there's one thing we can learn. But the other thing we can learn from the royal family is the importance of mentoring. You know, the Queen played an incredible role. I'm a bit of a Queen, a bit of a fan of the Queen. She played an incredible role in continuing to lead with grace and humility for all those years. And I think that the elder generation can be taught by following her example as well, Eric. So I think both sides, whether we be the elder generation or the generations coming up, emotional intelligence can help heal and improve our relationships and help a family business avoid being on the front page of the newspaper.
Mr. Bintal, certainly have appreciated your visit with us here today. A lot you have left us with to think about and ponder about. And again, we appreciate all the insight and info shared here today. Where can listeners be in touch with you as well as pick up your book, Dear Younger Me, and as well as your firm Next Step Advisors?
Eric, thanks so very much. Folks who are interested can contact me simply by going to my website. It's nextstepadvisors.ca for Canada, nextstepadvisors.ca. And you can purchase books there. I've got copies of Dear Younger Me, and also my earlier books are there. And then if they want to be in touch, we would be honored and privileged to help, whether that be mentoring next gen folks or providing education and training. It's really my, I feel, Eric, my calling in life is to take the disappointment and mistakes that I made as a younger executive and try and assist other family business leaders and other entrepreneurs to avoid making the same mistakes. So I'd be pleased to hear from any of our listeners if they think I could help.
Mr. Bintal, we appreciate what you do. And again, thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated.
Eric, my pleasure. Have a great day.
And you as well. We've been speaking with David C. Bintal, the founder of Next Step Advisors, and has been advising family enterprises for over 25 years. His new book is Dear Younger Me, Wisdom for Family Enterprise Successors. And again, for all the details, visit nextstepadvisors.ca. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.